Ron, thank you, Ron. It's good to be able to take off and know everything's in good shape and good hands and all that stuff. So we got an opportunity. My daughter had asked that we would come with them on a vacation with the boys for their experience, and we gladly said, okay, sure. And so we did and had just a great time. And I'm not real fan of plane flights. Done it several times. Some of those are, we had a fun one on the way out and a better one on the way back. And so, yes, so we're it's good to be home. It's good to live close. That's been awesome. And I wanted to say, where are you, Tina? It's back in the, there she is. Look, Tina is with us today, Tina Fruth. And yes, God has healed her, and she's going on the way to complete recovery. And her and Gary, and we just love you guys. Thank you so much for being with us today. It just made my whole Sunday. It's great to see Ben and Cherie as well. Awesome to have everybody here. And it's going to be a great day, amen? Come on, we're in November. It's going to be Thanksgiving. That's going to be happening around the world and all of that. Today is the last day for the listening ear. So today is going to be the last message in that series we've been doing, and so we're going to finish it up today. Just so you know, as far as connection cards go, they are put in the back, and they do get prayed over every week because I pray over them personally. I actually go by that basket, lay hands on that basket, and pray over those. And I'll even pull some of them out and look at them, but they do get prayed for. So I just want you to know that he doesn't just say that. He is telling you the truth. And so it's a good thing. It's great to pray for one another, isn't it? To be able to lift up each other up in prayer and believe with you and stand with you in the gap. And this is what's been really important about the listening ear. And here's one more announcement before I start. If you're interested in this Christmas season to be in a drama for the season, I'm going to help do a drama or lead the drama. I'm not going to be in it, but I'm going to help instruct it and all that. So I'm going to have a lot of fun with that. So I'm giving that out to the youth. But if there's a couple adults that are like, I don't like to do that. This could be your ticket, just to, see me up around the platform somewhere after service. The whole drama, there's no lines for you to learn. And so all those people that said, I have to study my lines, you don't have to study your lines. It's about 5 minutes, but it is so powerful. It is such a good drama. And so we're going to be doing that. Drama will be performed on the 22nd of December. And if we go on, we're believing and praying about, to have a Christmas Eve service. We've done that in the past. Last year, we changed it because of when the Christmas fell, the day that it fell, and we put everything in one service. And it was great. I mean, it was a power-packed service. So we're asking, Lord, do you want us to do everything on the 22nd, or do we still want to have a Christmas Eve? So I'm seeking the Lord about that, because that's only 1 hour service. That's from 5 to 6. If we do have it, we'll make sure that that's announced. But if we do have it, that drama will be on that night as well. Okay? All right, so it is going to be a time that you don't want to miss, and it's going to be fun. Lives are going to be changed. We are seeing all kinds of things. That God has just changed my mind and my heart. Isn't that good? You're supposed to say yes, because that'll help me. Yes, great. But, so we're looking at things differently. We're looking at things maybe not how we looked at them before, because he's changed our mindset. And we're seeing people getting healed. We're, seeing people getting filled with the Spirit. And we're seeing all of these things. We're getting things that are beginning to happen more and more and more. And let me tell you something, y'all, they should be happening. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. And so we're excited about that. But this teaching on listening to God, the listening ear is so important. I hope you enjoyed Pastor Gary last week. I appreciated his kind words. I popped in to see him, say hi and all that. And I just love him. He's just been, him and Drenda have been so wonderful and good friends to Kim and I and that whole family and that church. We just love them. And so a shout out if you're, I know they're not watching because they're doing service right now too. But anyway, Pastor, we love you. But finding out how to hear from God. Nobody was ever telling us that. It's always just given. We're just supposed to know everything. Well, sure, God will talk to you. Or, this is just, here's your do's and don'ts list. And that's kind of, how we took church. And we have been looking at those ways that God speaks to you. And so we've been talking about that. And we know that when we are hearing God, we're going to be encouraged. because he's going to say encouraging things. He's not going to say things that are going to tear you apart. Now, I'm not saying God won't correct you, but I'm saying he's not going to beat you down and condemn you. That's from the enemy. But you're going to get encouraged. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to be more confident. And your walk level will be different. Somebody say different. It's great just to be different, man, with God and know that, man, I'm not the same. He's the same. Hebrews says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, so he's consistent. But if I can be more like him, that's a good thing. So if I can get closer to him and I can kind of, and see, that's where people in the world will say, it doesn't matter who you hang out with. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's why, you know, you're protective over your kids. Well, I just want good influences. I get that. Because it does matter who you hang out with. And that's wonderful. We want to have good things happen and good things be in our lives. We need to be walking as close to God as we can. How many knows God's smarter than you? It's kind of a stupid question. I'm going to catch a fox, yeah? He's smarter than you, and he's got a perfect plan for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan, and he doesn't want us to stumble around and figure out. Have you ever walked into a room and somebody turned out the lights, and you're like, whoo? Or how about this? Somebody jumps out and goes, and that's back in the day with poof, and you're like, okay, great. But I've had that happen where all of a sudden you can't see anything, where you walk into a room, the lights go out in the room, you can't see your hand in front of your face. God does not want your life to be like that. He wants to show you the way to go. Here's the way, walk in it. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's going to show you how to walk, but you got to be in communication. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you things. He speaks to me all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. I'd have people tell me about that, and they're, you know, I'd be like, I can never do that. How am I ever going to do that? Without ceasing. It doesn't say pray for a little bit, then stop, get a coffee break, pray again. It just says pray without ceasing. How do we pray without ceasing? It's just being in communication. He's on your mind. He's in your thoughts. He's part of who you are. I mean, I think it can be interpreted, pray until something happens. How many are still praying for something that hasn't yet happened? Okay, you're still praying about it, so you're not stopping. It's still part of your heart. It's still part of the desire. It's still part of your list of, God, I thank you for moving on this. People have asked me, do you pray and ask the same thing over and over again? Now, this is what I don't ask necessarily say it the same way. Once I ask the Lord or I pray, and I believe I receive when I pray, according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, when I come and ask again, I don't have to, because I believed I'd already received it. I start thanking him for it. There's a big difference. It's easier to release something you already have than get something you don't have. If I've already received it, I start thanking him for it. So I start looking for it. So let me just say, when I go deer hunting, I've already received my deer before I ever got into the woods. So I'm not hunting him. I'm waiting for him to show up so I can receive what I've already believed for. A lot of us don't live that way. Most of us just have a sliver of time. God, here's where you fit in. Don't you go past this. This now is not my, this is you, your time is here. Now this is for Good Morning America. You can't be there. That's not your slot. Some of us just Sunday morning. It's the only time that, hey, I'm going to church because that's my day for God. What about the other 6 days? Others, it's just during devotions, which is good to have a devotion. But if that's the only time you talk to God in the morning, and then it's like, I'm not talking to you throughout the day. That doesn't work either. Some of us are just on emergency status. I talk to God when something goes wrong. And we just shoot up the flare prayers. I need help. And we all need help from time to time, I understand. But when something is wrong, then we focus on the Lord. When it's all right, we don't think about it. Most of us, and if we're human and we walk and work and do and live by our five senses, we are a walking Burger King commercial. Have it your way. I mean, you know, it's got to be what we want, what we see, all of those. We have it our own way. But God, if we let him, he'll change your heart. He'll change your heart. I want to stay in communion with him so that I'm like, oh, God, this is awesome. Because he really knows me. So he, you know, my desires are what I thought were mine. If they're not godly desires, then they get switched. Because when I seek him, I start wanting the things he wants for me. And that's pretty cool. Then I'm like, oh. He opens my mind and my eyes to things I didn't see the way they are. I did a podcast a few weeks ago, and they're getting things set up, you know, and they're miking you. And, you know, I've had all kinds of different experiences. I've been on TBN a few times. I've hosted a couple times. And they, you know, they do all these kind of things. And it's literally like some of the things we've looked at. Makeup! Did you know your head's kind of shiny? Did you know you haven't been slapped? I'll tell you about my head. But then, you know, they're like dabbing you with stuff and whatever. This, they weren't doing makeup or anything like that. But they're getting you ready, and they're miking you, and they're putting the mic here. How's that? Are you going to sit like this? Could you sit like that? How about sit like this? Scoot over a little bit. Like, and then everything's adjusted, and they're not running it yet. And, you know, you're getting ready, and all the people that are on the panel that are going to be asking you questions are all sitting there. And, you know, sometimes they say, hey, we're going to talk to you about this. And you're hoping, like, I hope they, is that, are they, what if they throw me something that, you know, I'm going to like, I don't know, you know, I don't know, you know, but I just have to trust in the Lord. But this is what was going on in my mind. I'm about to do this podcast. They're getting me adjusted. And this is what I'm saying to the Lord. I'm not saying it out loud. I'm saying it in my spirit. Because remember, when you get born again, your spirit is connected with God. And it's identical with Jesus. It's identical. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell these people that would bless them for you? That's what I asked him. And I got to thinking about that, and that's not to say, oh, look at me. I'm just saying, I don't know what they're going to ask me. I don't know what they're going to talk about. But I'm asking the creator of the universe, who I'm in fellowship with, what do you want me to say that would be honoring you, that would bless them for you, or whatever? Just what do you want me to do? So let me just clarify this. He talks to me. And I talk to him. We don't have a monologue. That's like Johnny Carson. Anybody remember Johnny Carson? About four of us. Johnny'd come out, oh, oh, ah, ah. And you have Ed McMahon over there. I mean, and a monologue is just stuff he's saying to people. A dialogue is when you're talking and somebody's talking back. So when I talk with God and he talks with me, we're talking to each other. But it's not because I'm somebody special. In his eyes, I am, but no more special than you. He has no respecter of persons. So if you hear me saying he's doing this for me, newsflash, he'll do it for you. So he talks to him. I talk to him. And every day isn't like some day where he downloads some major idea or some big plan or, you know, change, Brett, change the world. I don't have those every day, and maybe if he did, I've missed them on my own because I should have listened better. But it's just basically a relationship. Now, he could give me major ideas, and he's done that. He's told me stuff when he said, start this church. I'm like, what? I've never started a church. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, one of the biggest things for me was, how many remember, do they still do prizes in cereal boxes? Look, everybody's, some of the kids, what's a cereal box? I don't know. I used to try to convince my mother to get me cereal just because I wanted the prize inside. And my sister, who's watching now, God bless her, would get in the box, steal the prize, and leave, and I would empty the box for no prize. All the while, she thought, that was great. Where was I going with this? Not really sure. But let me stay the course. Something special I was looking for. You know, so every day isn't always like, oh, he's just going to give me this major piece of wisdom and advice. Well, anything from God is going to be a major piece of wisdom. So let me just refrain and say that, or re-say that. But just following that and just being able to talk. And, you know, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. We can have that. See, in our minds, the world tells us, no, you can't have that. The Bible tells us, yes, we can have that. Really? Could you just stroll with God? That's pretty cool. I mean, we're at the Magic Kingdom on Wednesday, and there's going to be people like, I don't think you should go. Okay, I'm not saying I like everything Disney does, okay? I don't. But I went because my grandsons wanted me there, and that's why me and her went, and they don't like everything Disney does either, but we want it before the world gets worser. Is that a word? It is today. Before it gets worser, we went. But I've never seen the Magic Kingdom so packed. I mean, it was like sardines. It was like packed. And so it's kind of hard to, in some ways, to enjoy because there's people everywhere. And in the middle of all of that, you know, I ended up getting this, I don't know, my nose decided to go nuts. The enemy just felt like the enemy was just attacking me. And all of a sudden, I was sneezing. And I don't have allergies. And just eyes and just, I mean, my head. Just, I didn't feel bad, just miserable. And I got to thinking, God didn't do this. God wouldn't do this. And he didn't put it on me. Oh, he's just testing me. That's not God. So I went and I started walking and talking with God, as we normally do. You know what he said? He told me exactly. It's the enemy. And this is what he said. His words verbatim to me. Make him pay. Now, how I let all that go on, my fault, somewhat, I don't know. God didn't put it on me. But I was like, okay. How do you want me to do that, boss? He said, every time you wipe your nose, every time you blow your nose, every time whatever, the word. I must have went through about 5 bazillion napkins at Disney. If they send me a bill. But I was, you know, I'm walking, and this is another thing. How many remember when Audrey Mack was here? Audrey Mack was here. She had told us a story before that when she had been sick, and the Lord told her, what would you do if this wasn't here? And she said, I'd be doing this. And God's basically like, are you going to let it stop you? So I'm like, I'm with my grandsons and my daughter and my son-in-law, and it's awesome. And I'm there with the most beautiful woman in the world. I'm there with Kim. And Maddie's there with us. And so we're all like, I'm going, because she had said, do you need to go back to the hotel? I'm like, I ain't going back to the hotel. So this, I just grabbed me a whole bunch of napkins. You know, they have a quick serve station. I'm up there going. And I stuck them in my pocket. And we're walking around. And every time I'm like, in the name of Jesus, by his stripes I was healed. I'm saying this. I'm saying God's arm, Numbers 11:23. His arm's not too short. He's able to meet all my needs. I'm saying that pretty soon. I'm talking out loud. And it got to where I didn't know for sure what to say. I started speaking in tongues, and I wasn't really realizing it, but I'm speaking out loud. And people are everywhere. And Mal was like, Dad's talking in tongues. I don't know what's going on, but Dad's talking in tongues. But I was sitting there, and pretty soon I look over, and there's some, I don't know who the woman is, God bless her, but she looked at me and she went. But I kept about a 3-foot bubble around me just speaking in tongues. There's some advice for you. You get around the crowd, just start shaking, people. People are like, and so, okay. Security? Goofy's back in another form. He's over here. But anyways, we had a great time. And you know what? I'd like to say it went like that. It didn't. It took about a day and a half, close to 2 days. And then I was fine. And then I think the enemy said, oh, it didn't work on him. I'm going to try her. That's not a good idea. Because she's going to do even more than me. And so God, I mean, he's just awesome. Her and I sit there and just like, he is so good. But you got to talk to him. You got to be able to listen and hear from him. And you can. We just stay the course. And if there's corrections, he'll correct you. How many knows that God's big enough to tell you if you're off course? I have people that, I'm not doing that because what if I miss him? Well, what if you just sit there and do nothing? You're going to miss him because he's always doing something. If you trust him, you can do it. You don't have to, well, I don't have all the answers. Well, no, duh. Neither do I. But he does. So that's where I trust. I've told you the story before, but I'm telling you, I love my family. I love my daughters and my sons. Maddie, ever since she was little, you know, I nickname her Tadpole because she loved to swim. But they've all, because I've been close with all my kids, have all trust me with everything. I mean, they would just trust me. If they were like, Daddy, I don't know. If the building was on fire and Maddie was, say, on the roof, and I am outside saying, Maddie, I will catch you. Now, obviously, this is when she was a kid. Just prefacing that. But anyway, I will catch you. You have to jump. She can't see me through the smoke. She can just hear me. I'm just telling you from a dad's point of view, I need to be ready because sooner or later she's coming through that smoke because she had trusted me. And that's how it is with God. You don't have to see everything. You don't have to see how you're going to land. He's going to help you land. He's going to make it okay. But you have to trust him. You have to listen and obey. And the problem with the church is, even if we hear it, we don't do it. We could always say, well, we didn't hear it. There are people that have selective hearing. Don't elbow your husband. Colossians 3:15, we said last week, let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And remember, the word rule comes from the Greek word, and we get the word umpire from. So you make the decision and you go forward. You don't call it back. It's a ball or a strike. Make the decision, move forward. What gives you, when you make the decision, the most peace? Do you hear me? What gives you the most peace? Make the call, move on. We talked last week about, you know, doing what you know you're not supposed to do. We called that sin. We also talked about if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, we call that sin. But indecision and double-mindedness gets you nothing. No peace, no reward, no, you just stay stagnant. And most of the church world is just stuck. We know a lot of the principles, but we don't apply them because we don't believe them because we've been told they don't work. And we've been brainwashed. James 1:5-8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach. It'll be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What's God telling you to do? In your own understanding, some of that you have to be, you might not understand everything. So if you're waiting for you to understand everything, there's not a whole lot of faith in that. I'm not saying to do something that's totally stupid and you don't have a peace over. Well, that's stupid. I'm going to do it anyway. No, you have to have a peace. It has to be a leading of the Lord. But if you have to wait till all your ducks in a row, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because the people that did things for God, they just heard and said, okay. They don't know how. And see, and that's how Kim and I work together. We sharpen each other. We're different. If I hear take the hill, I'm going to the hill. She's like, is God telling you how to take the hill? What are we doing when we get to the hill? How are we going to take him when we get to the hill? Now, she's okay if I say, this is all he said. If he said move now, then I'll move now. If he didn't say that, she's saying, she'll help me. Are you with me? But we have to listen. We have to know when to move and when to stay. Let the peace of God, to the best of your understanding, umpire and rule your heart and help make the decision. If you have a decision and you have no peace, don't move forward. But if you have a decision and you're like, I feel better about this, I have a peace about this, not because, you know, sometimes people ask, let's define peace. Is peace always doing what you want to do? Sometimes God wants you to do something and it's not peaceful, but you know you have a peace to do it. It might be saying, hey, I need to be forgiven. I need to ask, will you forgive me? Maybe that's no fun, but yet you know by God there's a peace in making that decision. When it's settled, guess what happens? You are settled. You rest. That's what we need to learn to do, is rest. Just, if he's already done it, why am I worried about it? If I've already cast it to him, why am I taking it back? It's like a boat. You know, the rudder on the back of the boat that steers it in which direction it goes? But it only works if it's moving. I can take the rudder and I can spin it around and sit there, and we will go nowhere because it has to be moving to give the boat direction. So if I want to change, I got to start moving. Okay, Lord, what do I have the most peace about? I'm listening. James says in 2:25, for as a body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So I'm just telling you, as I followed his direction, the light started shining where I'm supposed to walk. Think about this. Think about when they took the ark across the river. The water didn't split until they stepped out. There's so many things that God is just, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I got more and more peace the more I followed his direction. I didn't have all of the answers, but I had peace. I didn't know how he was going to do it, but that's his job. My job is to believe. I remember I told my pastor at the time stuff that was going on, stuff that God was doing with me, and I was just like, I don't even understand. It's kind of like, it's cool, but I'm like, I don't know. And he told me he was envious. I never expected to hear that from him. And he said he wanted God to talk to him like that and show him things like that, and he'd never seen it. And he went on to say, oh, I've just seen, and again, I'm telling you, this is my experience. I'm not telling you to say, look at me. It sounds like I am, but that's not my intention. So please understand, I'm not trying to pat myself. I'm just trying to tell you, I went to him and said, this is what's going on. And he said, I have seen God do more. I've been watching you for a long time. I never knew he was watching me. If he was looking at me, I always thought I was in trouble. I gave him fits. I really did. Monday was his day off. I must have called him every Monday of his life while he was my pastor. I don't know why. I never even thought it was his day off. I just thought, hey, I got a question. I want to ask him. And, you know, I never got through most of the time. And then sometimes he'd go, hi, Brett. Now I look back and go, I know, I'm so sorry. When I talked to him, I said, you know what, I owe you an apology. And so he told me, and he started laughing. He goes, I already knew I was going to get a call from you. You know, it's just like, I am so sorry. But I'm, you know, I was telling him stuff that had happened to me, like how God had shown me things, and everybody was in black and white, but three people were in color. I'm like, what's that about? And then I had a word for those three people, and it was just amazing. And he did this and this and this, and he would just say, I don't understand it. I want him to do that to me, but he. This is what he said in his own words. I've never seen that. I don't know. And I basically what he said without saying the exact words was, I don't believe it. He said, I don't see him. He did say this. I don't see him doing that to me or for me. There's his answer. I never questioned if God was doing that to me or for me. I just like, what does that mean? You know, and he's basically said, well, just go back and talk to him. I felt like, you know, is that you? Oh, he's not in the fire. Is that you? He's not, you know. I just wanted to ask, Lord, this is awesome. But it blew me away. But what I found out later is that God would have done that for him as well. See, this is all about just what we believe. If we listen to God and you believe what the Word says, there is nothing that's impossible to him that believes. Nothing. That's pretty broad. But we don't believe it because we just accept everything as just part of the course. As you get older, you're supposed to have these things. It's not in there. I'm not saying it's... I don't want you to feel condemned. I'm just saying, let's grab a hold of the Word and say, okay. You know, my uncle back there, Tom, 80 years old today. 80 years old. Well, I look at Tom, I don't think of him as being 80. You know, he's been in charge of the facilities team for the last several years now. I don't look at him as being... He even helped me move. Now, I didn't expect Tom to be trying to... I wasn't thinking of him moving the piano. And he's probably glad because he would have said, no. But, I mean, he's right in there just doing whatever. Uncle John was there lifting and doing whatever. I mean, there's so many guys that were. What I'm saying is, age didn't define him. He didn't. So somewhere in his mind, something's sinking in. If you're sitting here today, I'm not preaching against you. I'm not condemning you or anything. I'm saying, just like me, I need to change my mind. I need to listen to God. God, that means I can have more strength. What if God said yes? Because I'm telling you, he's saying yes. You mean I could be healthy? What if he said yes? I'm telling you, he's saying yes. Then we start acting on that. And when we act and believe, that's when things happen. Because listen to me. Believing isn't seeing. Well, yes, it is. Believing is seeing. Seeing isn't believing. Squatch that, reverse it. There we go. You know what I mean? I don't have to see it to believe it. I believe it and then I see it. Can I tell you this? A dead fish can float downstream. It's when you go against the current that takes effort. And that's the thing. You mean I'm going to have to work? No, you're not going to have to, but you're not going to get any results. If you want change, then change your mindset to what God is telling you. And if you'll start doing the things that he's telling you, it may be just little things. See yourself doing this. See yourself doing that. Do this. See this happening. See this marriage successful. See this. See this. Whatever it is. But you got to start saying, God, you take my, I want the mind of Christ. And if you're a believer, you have it. You have to activate it. You have to have some effort. You have to put your hand to it. If you want to go upstream against the world, it's going to take some effort. When you know you're going in the right direction, your confidence starts building up. 1 John 5, 14-15 says, now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. He wants you well. That's his will. So if I ask him that, and I believe his word, I should start getting well. How's that going to happen? I start thinking, I start acting, I start speaking, I start saying and doing the things that God wants me to say. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By hearing, by hearing, by hearing, by hearing, by hearing. I'm going to pump God's word in me. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to walk it. The things I couldn't do yesterday, bless God, look out, I'm doing them today. Even if I'm just starting. You know, I mean, Thomas ran a couple marathons, maybe more, I don't know. That's a lot of miles. Three. You know, we'd run the popcorn race, 3.2 miles. And we'd, you know, sometimes we got to train for it, if you want to call it training. He would say, we'd go out and we'd run one time before the race, or one time was the day of the race. He goes, how many times do you run this before today? And I said, counting today. And he said, yeah. I said, one. So there was no training. But see, he had a mindset of training. And to run a marathon, he conditioned himself. He had a plan. He knew it. He was listening. He was doing it. I couldn't have done that. Why? Wasn't my plan, but I wasn't listening. I didn't have any desire to do that. What's your desire? What's God telling you to do? If God's put something in there, he'll equip you to get it done. You just have to listen and then start the steps. I know what he's telling me. Things that I have to do to be prepared for what's coming. I have a piece about it, but do I like it? No, some of it, because it involves restraint. So it's okay, but the end result will be blessed. Let me show you a little bit about what I mean. In the beginning, we were on welfare, Kim and I. And the kids. And God had supernaturally put us in a house. And we moved inside this house in like 30 days. You know, that's where people are like, boy, you move a lot. Well, Jack, welcome to my world. You're in ministry. Sometimes that happens. And, you know, It is what it is. But we only moved when we felt like the Lord told us to. Because trust me, this last move, I'm so glad I moved now, but I did not want to move. Packing, moving. Anyways. Maddie was born with a cleft palate. It means she didn't have a palate in the roof of her mouth. And she was going to require two surgeries and all kinds of things. And so, you know, there's just, you know, you have all the medical doctors telling you this and that and this. And, I mean, we took her into one specialist, and he held Maddie, and she was just an infant. And he put his finger in her mouth, and there was no roof there. And I didn't like how he held her because he was kind of rough. And then he called his colleagues over and said, "Hey, look at this." I just went over and said, "Give her to me." And I said, "You will never touch my daughter again." And I was totally serious. And Kim was with me. She was just like, "Don't," because that's not going to happen. Anyway, we were getting, you know, so people had said, "You don't understand. You've never, listen, I have been bankrupt before. I have been down that road. We've been on welfare and food stamps. You know, it was never intended for you to live on that. That's intended for you to get a step up so you can figure it out and you can work, get it right. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. That's the truth. It's not supposed to be your career." So we went in there, and I remember the Lord, I just had such an unpeace. There's probably like 30 kids in this place where everybody's getting checked. And I mean, the green snot was flowing freely. You know what I'm saying? But we were in there, and our kids, we were going to get them checked up and all that stuff. Man, I hated it. I just didn't have any peace. And I remember talking to the Lord. I was just, kids are in there. Kids are awesome. Kids can play and do whatever. They'll make friends, and wouldn't it be great if life would be simple like that? They just make friends. They just, hi. So they're playing, and Kim's, you know, she's, and I felt like the Lord said, "Have you had enough of this?" And I went to her, and I said, "I don't want to be here. I don't feel he wants us here. I think he is telling me," and this is what he said, and I'll even read it because I wrote it down. I said I didn't want to do it this way anymore. Have you ever been fed up? I was just tired. And in that room, I remember feeling like I was caged. Like, it's just like we're in the system, and I was just, and the people that were working the system, God bless them, but the one lady she had the personality of the pulpit, and it was very rude and just, next, you know. And of course, her job is probably tough, in her defense, I guess, you know. But I know the Lord told me, he said, "If you don't do this anymore, trust me. Would you trust me?" So we were in that office, and he said, "If you're tired of the system, what are you going to do about it?" And then he said, "Trust me." I walked out to Kim and said, "We're taking our kids. We're getting out of here." She said, "I'm in agreement." We got our kids, and we were verbally assaulted by the wonderful lady. "You! Those kids, it's your fault or something." I mean, she was just ranting and raving, and people are all staring at us. I remember looking at her, and I said, "God will take care of us," and just kind of like went like that, and out we walked. When I got outside the door, I was like, "Oh, Jesus." But I felt freedom, and he said, "Trust me," and he was going to take care of us, and that's what we had told her. We had heard from God, he's going to take care of us. She didn't believe it. It's not about her belief I'm standing on. It is our belief in him. And he did just what he said. He took care of us, and we never looked back. We never went back again. We got out of that system. They told us we were nuts, and we just said, "This is not going to be my provision. This is not. God will do what he told me." And we had a word from God, and we went with it. And it was based on peace and trust in the Lord. It was unchartered for us. We had not done it before. We didn't know how he was going to do it. Listen to what I'm telling you. It is his job to do it. It is your job to believe. And our problem is we get over into, "I think you should do it this way. I think, what if he doesn't do that? I thought so-and-so was going to help us, and they're not going to help us. What if I got to get 5 other jobs?" That's not his way. You just trust him and watch his hand move. Now, I was brought up Methodist. Kim was brought up Baptist. we both kind of accepted everything. Just, you know, you're brought up. It's almost like you're brought up, my dad loved the Browns, I love the Browns. Most winning team in football. There is a lot of Browns in the Hall of Fame. I will give him that. But, you know, I mean, so anyway, sometimes life hits you just like, how come this isn't working? I got to have it work. I don't want to just be status quo. I don't want to go through my life and go, you know, I just did this. What if I'm missing something? Start asking questions. Pastor Gary says it this way. Become a spiritual scientist. Why did that work? He started looking at the Bible like, how come those fish and loaves multiplied? Why did that work? Could I do with that? Could it do? If I followed that, is there something? If I did that, would it do it for me? Could I duplicate that? If it can be shown by God's Spirit, since it's connected to mine, then I can find out what was done, and I can do it. I can repeat it, and I can watch it happen again. If you're wanting more than what you've seen or experienced, let me tell you, it ain't over, because we're still here. He's coming back, but until he comes back, there's a lot of glory to be pulled out. There's a lot of stuff God wants to do, and he's looking, he's searching, and looking for people that'll say, I believe you. Use me. The world doesn't offer it. It can only be found in the Word of God. You need to saturate yourself in the Word. The Word is pure. The world is not. My mom and dad left the Methodist Church because they found out there was more. Charles and Charlotte left the Baptist Church because they found out there was more. Well, Charles was asked to leave because he got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and they said, get out. That stuff's not, doesn't happen anymore. And he's like, it's happening to me. Get out. But we've gotten revelation. That baptism in the Holy Spirit is awesome. The Bible says you can pray when you don't know what to pray. You can pray perfectly. And he can speak to you. He can download things to you. Some of what we're allowing in the world today is just sheer stupidity. But the relationship I have with the Lord has changed me. But I'm the hinge on that. He doesn't change. It is my belief in what he says and what the word is true. Well, if I believe it's true, it changes everything. Sometimes I just, it worked for him. It won't work for me. Why doesn't it work for me? Well, you just said it won't work for you. You know, there's all of those things that go in. Life is in your mouth. You don't have to hear him audibly to change you. He speaks to you in his word. He speaks to you through maybe close friends that are walking close with the Lord that may help you or pray with you. Or you just get an inclination or a unction, as we say. Impression of something. I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to do this. Or I'm supposed to, you know, whatever. Again, seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord and he's number one, his desires become our desires because he wants the best for you. Let me just say, like Kim, for Christmas, I'm not getting her camouflage pajamas. I don't want camouflage pajamas either, but I'm a hunter. But you know, she has no desire for camouflage. So sometimes she'll, you know, I'll be like, I want to get my son this, and she'll be like, that's because you want that. Look at all the wives. You see that? He's talking to you. And I'll be like, but they like that. Well, they might like it, but you want that. You want them to like what you like, and that's what we do. But if I change my desire, Father, what? I just want to make you happy. So when I start looking at saying, what makes her happy? Things that she would like to do, places she would like to go. Now, my desire is to get something that she would desire instead of something I would desire. Well, Brett, that's your story, but mine's different. Our stories may be different, but the principle's the same. Most of us are living far beneath God's best. Not because we're bad people, because to live God's way, we need God. That's how simple that is. But we are afraid to admit we need him the way we do. We want to control everything. Jeremiah 10:23, I'm finishing up. Well, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in a man who walks and directs his own steps. God never intended for us to operate independent of him. He created us for fellowship and dependence on him. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your father. He's not Darth Vader. I am your father. Brett. But he is my father. And he wants you to understand you're his child. He wants that relationship. You are not a robot. How many times have I ever tired of hearing that? Please check all the boxes that the bleachers are in. You're not a robot. And then you check them all. Please do it again. But he wants to speak to you. He wants to live through you. Let his glory, let people see him in you. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So see, Paul was dead to his own self and said, I just want to do what Jesus wants me to do. That's what, how, I mean, I know that sounds simple and I get it. It's hard. But just to start your day out, you know, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? What can I do that will bring blessing to you and your kingdom? Who can I help today? We need wisdom because he's got great plans, and you need to be connected and listen so you can hear the plans. You got to get yourself out of the way. That's what I had to do. I had to get myself out of the way. Maybe you're here saying, Brett, I'm telling you, the only time I need God is when as a fire escape. But let me just say, those are things, that's why things are happening the way they are. Why you don't have peace or joy. That's why, you know, you need more help in finances, or you got issues in this and you're trying to get these things mended. The more you have of God, the less those things, they just go away. That doesn't mean you're never going to be challenged again, but it just means he's got an answer for that. Well, I want to know what it is. Well, walk with him and he'll tell you. But you're going to have to trust him. You know what God's telling me? Throw the white flag and surrender. You know, I don't want to be Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I want to do it his way. When God is first place, in Psalms it says, things start falling into place. And he does it by peace. Remember that in Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's 3:15. You don't have to shoot from the hip, just doing whatever. What gives you the most peace? If you don't have peace, don't do anything. Just pray. Start looking at it. Maybe you need to write it down, pros and cons. God, what do I do? What do you want me to do? There's nothing wrong with that. Well, maybe he doesn't talk to me the way he talks to you. I really, you know, I'm not up here to try to tell you how he's going to talk to you. But I'm telling you, he's going to use the word because he doesn't change. The word is God. So if you look in the Word, you're going to get some answers right there. And then in your spirit, he'll give you unctions and things like, go this way, do that, pay for this, give this much. And I got to tell you, I've learned the hard way. Her and I have made some decisions. They weren't so good. We didn't wait. We didn't ask. And the results didn't come out too good. But he still took care of us. Would it have been better? Sure it would have. Why? Because we would have listened. And we would have did it the other way, but we didn't. So we walked out of it, and he helped us. So now this is what we do. If we don't have peace, we don't do it. We don't go forward. Big decisions, we do together. Now, really, most decisions we do a lot of together. But, I mean, if we don't have peace, we just don't. And she has different ways than are not mine. Girls are different. Way different. But you got to learn to trust that. Because sometimes she'll just say, I don't know. This is in my gut. I don't know. Okay. Now, unless I get an overrule from, I feel like, you know, something is wrong or she missed something or whatever, then we work together. Or if she gets that way and I've missed something, then we work together. I've told you stories before, so I'm going to skip past the story I've already told you. If God wants to change some things, then listen to him and make the changes. I have to have a peace to go forward. You know, this is what I'm praying about right now. Praying about in the plan on how he wants to do things. Yeah, Christmas season's coming up. Those are minor. You know, have a service, don't have a service. We'll figure all that out. It's not a big deal. Lord, what do you want me to do when it comes to the entryway? I'm excited to see what the architect brings up. What are the drawings of that? When we get to Kidstown, rather than just make a kids area, Lord, do you want us to make a sanctinasium or a gymuary? In other words, put a gym, you know, so that we'd have that and maybe we could do some more things in this area to draw more students in and you know, make it not only kids town, but also, you know, a place for the youth. So, okay, God, how do we do that? You know how we do that? We stay connected. And we follow the peace. Seems easy enough, but all the time while you're doing that, you know, the enemy's trying to get your focus. Get your focus. The stewardess did something on the plane yesterday that was like, oh, man. So everybody's doing whatever they do. When you get on a plane, you know, you're trying to get in. You're trying to find your seatbelt. Isn't it always fun if you've done much flying to try to fasten your seatbelt, hoping you didn't put yours in the other person's thing or vice versa? Or if it's a stranger, I'm just trying to get my seatbelt, okay? I'm just trying to fasten. And the stewardess said, okay, did anybody drop this? And everybody on the plane went. And she goes, well, now that I got your attention, I'm like, you sly dog, you. But I'm like, everybody's just like, whoa. What if we kept our focus like that on Jesus? Because what the enemy's going to do, he's going to try that over there. You're supposed to be here. Hey, Brett, did you drop this? He's going to try to get you off the wall. He's going to try to get you to come down from what you're supposed to do. He's going to try to get you to stop what the piece has already started. That's his job. He's a slime. He's going to tell you, oh, you never should have did this. You shouldn't be this way. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be together. You shouldn't. He's going to lie to you. He's nothing but a liar. But yet you have the peace of God that says otherwise. And you have to just stay at your post. Father, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on you. And when you focus on the Lord and he is your number one, things start happening. Because your belief system changes. It's not yours now. I just believe if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you're saying, oh no, Jesus said that. Jesus said you're going to do just what I did and greater. All of us, Christians, you know what that is? Little Christ. We should all be like Jesus. Isn't that our goal? Now, when I get my barn, when the gentleman that we bought the house off of, I'm storing his stuff right now, and he's wonderful. Eventually, he's going to be getting his stuff out. When I get it, I get to put in my barn, which I've had in every place I've had. That's my workout space and whatever. I have two pictures. I have a picture of my dad. It's actually his senior picture, just taken about 5 years ago. Handsome, handsome stud of a man. Have his picture right there, and then I have a picture of Jesus. And the picture of Jesus, I've always put it just a little higher than that. You wouldn't, how many times somebody's walked into my barn or whatever and said, hey, you got a picture of your dad and Jesus? I said, yep, those are my two fathers. And then they'll say this, well, they're not even. One is a little higher than the other one. I said, as it should be, just like that. What it is to me is a reminder of how God has blessed me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father,